3, 2, 1. From Rapid City, South Dakota, hosted by Josh Van Valkenburg Gernert, this is the Hard Rocker Podcast Network.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Coach's Corner. My first guest today is head volleyball coach Lauren Prohaska. Thanks for joining me again this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Coming off a pretty good week, obviously. You went down to Black Hills State, which is not always the easiest place to play, and you got a pretty dominating win, obviously, after losing one set and then kind of taking care of business the next three. What was that like, just to be able to go down there and, you know, get a win over them, a team that hasn't always been easy for you to beat?
Yeah, anytime we can get a win over BH is obviously a very good thing for our program and for our kids, and to do it at their place is always a great thing to be proud of, I think, because they just do such a great job with environment, and it's always a tough place to play. So I was really proud of our commitment to just focusing on the game plan, and I don't think that focus was their set one. I think we got a little rattled, but once we really decided to like buckle down and do what we were supposed to do and focus on what was going to make us win that match, and we executed really well. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, you had a pretty balanced attack in that one. You had at least three hitters with double-digit kills. Ivy Vindovich, obviously, who's really been coming on lately. Alessandra, who's been pretty much your most steady. And then Paisley, too. Is that kind of what you envision this year with, you know, especially with Paisley coming back as an all-conference selection and Alessandra, those two, obviously, it just makes you guys hard to defend.
Sure, yeah, anytime we can have three hitters that are in those statistical categories, like double digits, we probably are going to win some matches. I always say, like, you got to have three. You got to have three hitters that can get it done, and Paisley has been playing really well. Jenna continues to play really well. Ivy has just... her maturation, I don't think, hasn't happened yet, but it's getting there. And I think that's why you continue to see her climb and climb, because she's getting to the point where it's making sense to her and she gets better all the time. And Ollie just is so consistent and really knows how to turn it on for her team. Like, she knows when her team is in a situation where we need a kill and she gets it done. So, yeah, I mean, to have three hitters that perform that well or did perform that well on Tuesday was really great.
And then you had another really good week from Kylie. Not that that's rare, but she's obviously back to pretty much 100% now and back to mid to high 30s assists. How important is it just to have her, and what does that do to improve your hitters?
Yeah, I mean, Kylie is just so consistent, and that's what makes her a great setter. She's very steady. She doesn't get rattled too much, and she knows how to find her hot hitters. What I think makes Kylie so great is her ability to mix up our offense and keep it fresh, which is hard to defend. And obviously when you have, like we said, three or more hitters that are getting it done, it makes her job a little easier. But I definitely feel the confidence with our team at a higher level when she's on the floor.
Yeah, and she allows you to run a lot of kind of 5-1, right, which isn't necessarily the case without her.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we did a really good job in the 6-2, and I like the 6-2 a lot. Like, Ellie, our freshman setter, I think brings so much to the floor, and Morgan on the right side, just her energy is unmatched, and we really need that at times. But the 5-1 brings a little different look. You know, Kylie can be more offensive, and she's pretty good at that, and we can run more slides out of our middle, which Annalise continues to be pretty steady in. So it brings different things, and I think it's not one more than the other, but I think the steadiness and the confidence of Kylie is really big for our young team. And I also think that it says a lot about our team that we can continue to be successful with different lineups, which is a good thing for me as their coach, obviously.
Yeah. And you're starting to get some really good performances statistically from your middles as well. Mm-hmm. They were getting a lot of touches earlier in the year, but maybe that wasn't necessarily turning into blocks. But this last weekend you had Madison Smith, who had 7, and then Kira Walsh, who had 9. How important is that, again, and just your defensive play and being able to get touches and being able to develop points in that way?
Yeah. I mean, Madison was just outplaying Kira a lot in practice, and, you know, we just felt like it was Madison's time to go out and do something, and she really showed the past weekend and then also against BH what she can do, and she did a great job. And on Saturday against New Mexico, we really needed a different look because we needed to score out of the middle. In the first set, we weren't scoring out of the middle. We put Kira in, and she had 7 blocks, I think. Was that, you know? And Matt had a pretty good offensive match as well. And I think that it says a lot about our kids and their grit and their tenacity, but also like the way they work together, that it doesn't matter who's in the floor. It's about getting the job done. And they obviously they compete like crazy when it comes to practice, and they're always battling. But when it comes to who's going to be on the floor in game time, it doesn't matter. Like, they have each other's back and they're there rooting for each other. And I think that just says a lot about our team.
Moving on to kind of the service line, I guess. You've had a ton of success there all year. Obviously, Hannah's up there. She's second in the nation right now. But it's not just her. Josie Wickersham is top 10 in the RMAC. Rachel Mao is top 10 in the RMAC. What does that do just to add another dimension to your team?
Yeah, it's fun to have a great serving team. We work really hard at it. You know, it's something that we practice quite a bit and we're very intentional about. And obviously having some freshmen that can bring some tough serving to the table is huge. But yeah, anytime you can keep your server on the line for 2+ points is just huge. And that's always our goal. Like, 2 points minimum is when our server is going to be on the line. And Hannah obviously is like a 4-point kid. Like, most of the time when she's getting back there, she's staying there for 4 or more points, which is insane. Like, just to have that consistently each set, it's hard to beat. And even when our servers aren't getting aces, they are putting teams out of system. Like, they're really making teams struggle. So it totally changes the game, because when you can't terminate or you're struggling to terminate, then it really helps to have servers that can put a team out of system so that you can get an easier ball to go and put away.
Just talking about RMAC play in general, you're 7-3 now, which is the best start we've ever had in our school, at least since we went D2. You lost 2 in a row, but since then you won 7 of 8. Mm-hmm. What has it just been like to see the growth during that time, and how proud are you of the team are you for that start?
Yeah, I mean, super proud. This is something that we've been talking about since January of last year with this returning group. And this returning group, the 9 of them, were so adamant about what they wanted to do in this conference and what they wanted to do with this program. And they didn't, you know, they knew they were going to have a huge group of freshmen and some transfers, and they knew it was going to be a completely new team, and they understood the challenge, but they just didn't, it didn't bother them. They knew exactly what they wanted to go and accomplish. And so I really attest all that drive to those returners, like our sophomores, Kylie, Grimmie. They really just knew what they wanted and they went after it. And so they really convinced those young kids, like, this is what we're going to do. So I think every conference match has been so important to them. And they go in with like a level of preparation and focus that we have not had in the past. And their commitment to that process has been awesome. So I can definitely say that's the reason that we're at where we're at, but we got to keep doing it.
Sure. Yeah, and one of those wins, too, was over CSU Pueblo, who at the time didn't look great, but now they're 8-2 in the RMAC. I think they've won, like, 8 in a row. So you're starting to really become a force in the RMAC and somebody that teams are probably not wanting to play, which is not, I guess that's not how it's always been. Mm-hmm. And then, too, looking at, I guess, the history of the RMAC, have you started to look at this yet? No. Am I getting ahead of myself?
No, no.
Last year there were 5 RMAC teams that made the NCAA playoffs.
Sure, the past 2 years.
Yeah, is that something that you've started to look at, or are you kind of just taking it one match at a time right now?
Oh, no, I mean, this team, like I told you, like when we sat down in the winter season and talked about what we wanted to do, like them talking about being good enough in our conference to go to the NCAA tournament is something they've always talked about. Like, it's always been in the back of their head. It's not out of reach for them. It's like they know exactly what it would take to get there. They know they couldn't have bad losses. And so I think like losing to BH early and even Moorhead early, CS early, like those things really frustrated them because they understood what that meant. And they really needed to do a better job. Like, we needed to do a better job and not losing to teams. Like, we have to win. We have to win out. So the RMAC continues to just be a ridiculously talented conference. Even though, again, like, Pueblo's a great example. Maybe didn't look the part early on, but they're very talented, and they were going to figure it out eventually, and they obviously had. And that's kind of the same for a lot of RMAC teams. Like, everyone continues to get better. Like, Highlands, their record doesn't show you at all what they're good, like, capable of doing. And when we played in that first set, we didn't do a very good job at keeping them out of system at all. They were in system all the time, and they are good in system, like, really good. And it just kind of shows you, like, the testament to the talent in this conference, and that teams are just going to keep getting better all the time, you know? And so we have to also get better to combat that, and we have to be better in the final 3 weeks of season.
Yeah. Talking about this week, you go to another pod. This time you host. Mm-hmm. So you have Thursday and Saturday, I believe, UCCS and
Fort Lewis.
What are you looking for from those teams? And is it kind of a break for you to get out of RMAC play, or do you just treat it like it's just another RMAC match?
Yeah, I mean, we have to treat it like it's another RMAC match. And I think we learned that against Shadron and BH. I'm not sure we took those as seriously as we should have in that pod. And I think for UCCS, it's personal because we should have beat them the first time. And even though this isn't counting towards our RMAC ranking, it doesn't matter. We really want to show what we're capable of doing against them. And having just played Fort Lewis, like, it'll be a battle because they really have a lot of newer information about us, and they're a very talented team. They do a lot of great stuff, so we have to bring that same level of play against them a second time because we got to prove that we're good enough to do it twice.
Yeah, and I mean, we just talked about NCAA playoffs, whether it's RMAC or not, all the matches matter when it comes to talking about that.
Oh, so. Yeah, for sure. Can't lose.
Yeah, and just looking at, looking at your schedule the rest of the year, I don't know if you've done this, but the path is there for sure, mm-hmm. for you guys to do some serious damage and maybe get to that point. So what do you have to do as a coach to just keep them, you know, keep their mental in the right spot to be able to get to where you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest message that we have to get them to buy into is that we have to get better all the time. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today is this Thursday and Saturday. Like, it's about getting better. Like, we got to go win, obviously, but what new things can we bring to the table? Like, how do we consistently evolve? And we can't be stagnant toward the top, because I think teams that are at the top and become stagnant, just they can't hold on. And so we have to just continuously develop new systems, develop a higher level of play in certain ways, and we have to make sure that we are always getting better at things, you know? And I think that like, being behind the service line, that's one of them. Like, we have to be better servers continuously. We got to be able to serve different places. We got to be more consistent. Our block has to improve, which it's done that, but we have to get better. We can't get used as much as we're getting used. And so there's little skills and there's little things that we have to consistently improve on. And I also think, like, for our team, we've gone, you know, we're pretty much in the last, like, leg of our season here, and we've played, like, I don't know, 8 to 10 different lineups. So I think our team understands that, like, it's, you never know when your time's going to come with injuries or with whatever, people underperforming, whatever it is. So I think it keeps our team fresh knowing that we trust anyone to go out there and do the job. And so you can't just become, you know, complacent in your ability to do the job either. Like, everyone has to do it at a really high level and keep getting better, or else someone behind you is going to take over.
Yeah. Just following up on that, how beneficial is it to be able to, you mentioned playing 8 to 10 different lineups, mm-hmm. how beneficial is that when you get, especially later in the season, you know, injuries eventually happen, mm-hmm. you know, it gets late in the season, the RMAC schedule's a grind, how beneficial does that become, both physically and, you know, conditioning-wise?
Yeah, no, for sure, we have to be in excellent shape, and our athletes just continue to, like, buy into that process really well. Like, every week they get faster, they get stronger, they do a great job in the weight room, they take care of themselves. But yeah, having that talent and that depth is huge for us, and that's the game changer. Is like, you know, Ivy has been playing out of her mind the past 2 weeks, and she wasn't even starting the first 3 weeks of season, and I think that just shows, like, what you have to be ready to do. Like, when it's your chance to go on the floor, you better do something about it, you know? And I think that is where we're at. And we're very grateful to have 19 athletes who are invested in this team for that reason and are willing to give their all when it's needed.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me today, Lauren.
Thank you.
Good luck this weekend.
Thanks.
My second guest today on the Coach's Corner is Director of Cross Country and Track and Field, Joe Stevens. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Just getting started, cross country, it's been a couple weeks since we've had you on. So MSU Billings, you had some pretty good results there. Men took first, women took second, and a couple school records. Just talk about, you know, the overall meet, what you were pleased with, all that stuff.
So our women we'd won against Black Hill State early in the year. We'd had a surprisingly good performance. I think the women made an improvement at the University of Minnesota. So I think on our gals side, to get second was probably about as good as what we could have expected. I believe the University of Mary was ranked maybe 20th or 21st in the country at that time. We knew it was going to be hard to win, but we wanted to beat Black Hills again. There's a couple nationally ranked top 25 NAIA teams, which are still pretty good. The NAIA isn't what it quite used to be, but there's some good programs there. And so second was our goal. Obviously, you can get first, but I think the main goal was to continue the success that we'd had on the gal side. And it was a tight battle, but I think all but one of our ladies at the meet set a lifetime PR. And to get three girls under the school record by a pretty big margin, I mean, 21:50, that's a pretty fast 6K, especially for a sophomore. And what's really cool is these gals are pretty much running 6,000 meters as fast as they were running 5,000 meters in high school. And that's a pretty impressive development curve. So I want to give a lot of credit to the gals for having an amazing summer and then, you know, choosing to execute well when it mattered. For the guys, we had been training for the long haul. To win that meet was something I knew we were capable of, but we hadn't quite seen. We'd been really patient in our training, still running 100 miles a week, hadn't backed off yet, still crushing hard workouts. And so we'd trained through the first half of the season. So for the men to win was really in the first time that we said, okay, we're gonna back off in the weight room, we're gonna back off on our mileage and let ourselves have our legs. They took advantage of the situation and really ran well. We are a pack running team, so we have a strategy where a couple of our front runners go out with the lead pack and duke it out with that top 5 to 10 guys, and then the majority of our team runs in two packs. And 8,000 meter race, they need to stay together for about 2 miles, 3,000 meters of that. And then they can start to split apart and attack throughout the middle. And so that's our strategic style. That's what we want to be known for. I believe it's a style that gives consistently good performances and has the ability to resurrect a potentially poor performance into a good or an average zone because you have the power of that team. And this was the first race at Billings where the men really took ownership of that style since I've been here and said, this is how we're going to run, and they executed brilliantly.
Yeah, Tyler Captain was your top finisher on the men's side. His time was 24:59.8, which, according to our records, thank you for checking this out, that was our D2 era school record. You also had another top 15 with Brett Flurginger and a top 20 as well with Owen Wagner. And Tristan Enders was in that mix too. And those have kind of been your top four for a majority, really, the last couple of years. What do you think that group has done just in terms of elevating the team's performance?
Well, I think it started with Brett back in the day. He's our oldest guy. He's our only senior. Brett was part of some of the alumni who've graduated now. Ryan Moen and Tim Dunham and just some guys that said, we want to be good. And they really took ownership of their own process and said, we just want to be great. And they started training extra and putting in extra work. And that's when we kind of became a high mileage program of we're going to crush it and get it done on the work ethic side. And Brett was a part of that original move to do that. Tyler came in and continued that. So, you know, Tristan, he's a young kid. Like, he's a freshman from Casper, Wyoming, runner-up in the Wyoming State meet. So, second-best kid out of Wyoming, you know, came in here, and he's been able to hold his own with some of are pretty good juniors and seniors on our team. And so to have Tristan in that mix for every single meet this season, and he didn't disappoint at Billings either. He duked it out right in there. It was 25-30 AK guy. You know, that's, you know, 5.07 per mile for 5 miles. That's pretty fast, because that's faster than he was running a 5K in high school, and now he can do AK at that pace. So it's pretty good what's happening on the squad. There's a lot of buy-in to the culture, and I think that's why we're seeing some success.
Sure. Not on the women's side. This one was not a D2 era school record, but an overall school record. Claire Fisher, she ran a 21:54.4, which got her, you know, a top five finish, especially in that women's mix. You kind of mentioned that U Mary's a pretty good program, and actually BH is too. So to finish in the top five, you must have been pretty pleased with that.
The women, for the most part, throughout the majority of the season, and definitely up until Billings, they exceeded, I think, coaching expectations. They definitely exceeded their own expectations of what they were capable of. You know, we've had a philosophy of, when I came here a year and a half ago, it was, let's get everybody healthy, let's train smart, let's learn how to be college student athletes in that discipline process. And those women have bought in a little bit more and more every couple months. And my goal was to see those gals. This was the first season of the year and a half I've been here where I said we could do something that was pretty good. And it's neat to see all that work that they're putting in pay off. But yeah, a lot of credit to those gals. They had an amazing summer. They worked their butts off in the off season, and that's what you've got to do as a cross country athlete. And, you know, Claire, like I say, that's fast. I mean, she's up there with some girls that are going to be vying for, you know, top 50 spots at nationals individually. And whether or not she can get an individual bid this year for nationals remains to be seen. I think she's probably just a little bit young for reaching that level, but she can knock on the door and make it exciting at the end of the season for sure.
Sure. And then most recently you were at the cross country the RMAC championships. Your men took a team finish of 9th, which is the best. I think at least 2 years ago they got 10th. So it's the best in a while, and the women also got a top 10 finish, which I think is the first time since 2016. So what were, I guess, your expectations going in, and how do you feel, you know, as we kind of reach into now getting ready for regionals?
I really endeavor to be a patient, strategic coach and pay attention to making sure we're getting those small gains, knowing that over the period of a couple of years, those small gains really accumulate into you being one of the best programs in the country. And that's our goal long term. So really, to keep moving the needle forward, all we needed to do was to be better than we've been before. You know, the gals tied the best, the men were a little better. So collectively, some good things happened. On the men's side, our top finisher last year, I believe, was 59th. And our fifth finisher this year on team placings was, I think, 58th. So to have five guys be better than our first last year, I mean, that's why you move from, I think we were 13th or 12th last year, 12th or 13th, and then move up three or four spots. My goal was one or two. I told the men at the start of the year, let's be one or two spots better at conference, and then moving into regions, let's be three or four better. Because once again, I'm a long haul guy. Like, let's get better every year. Let's do things right. Let's be patient, and let's be consistent. And you know, the gals, I thought we ran very well in the second half of the race, and it was a little bit of a shell shock. There was some nerves and some stress, and they had done pretty well throughout the year. They had exceeded a lot of expectations throughout the year. I don't think my gals expected to be able to beat BH, you know, two or three times this season. So I don't know. We're still in the process of learning how to be good. Those gals are, and the guys too, are our program. We've got to get used to doing well. We have to get used to having higher expectations on us and handle those pressures and race. Of course, as everyone knows, there's every year between 7 and 9 nationally ranked teams in our conference. So it's a brutally tough conference with 3 or 4 in the top 5, and that's just, so you're going to step into the best competition in the country. It's a mini national meet, but once again, I feel like we rallied well we closed hard. We were catching girls like crazy in the final straightaway, which tells you you probably didn't start as aggressively and have the confidence. And that's just a growth piece. We're returning most of our gals next year, and this is all just experience going forward.
Yeah. You mentioned returning most of your men, too. I think of your top seven men, I think six of them are juniors or freshmen or sophomores. How important is that, you know, into that kind of growth piece you mentioned?
Oh, it's going to make it easier to continue the success for sure. A big reason a team is successful, I believe, is you practice a culture. The culture becomes ingrained into who you are. And then that process, that good quality process, just keeps going. And it self-educates those incoming freshmen. I had multiple really good high school recruits from the state of Colorado that came to watch the RMAC meet in Denver. And after the race was done, they're showing up and saying hi to our team. And I had one guy walk up with his girlfriend, who was one of our recruits, walks away, watches the men's race, comes back and says, "Hey, I wasn't thinking this before, but I'm interested in your school now." And that's cool. So credit to our men and women, because the roster's growing, right? The PRs are flowing, and there's a lot of great things happening in cross country, but that attracts more. Excellence always attracts, and that foundation going forward is something we're just – I'm confident. I'm not just excited and hopeful. I'm confident that we're going to keep getting better.
Sure. Let's move in a little bit, I guess, to the end of the season coming up. You have a home meet currently scheduled for Saturday. We'll see what happens with the weather there at Hart Ranch. And then regionals again in another week after that. What are you kind of looking for, you know, just to, like you've been saying, just to continue taking steps forward the last couple of weeks?
Well, you know, first, this home meet is, I'm excited to host it. I think Hart Ranch is a great facility in the region. You know, on a non-golf course setting, it's probably one of the best places to have a cross-country meet in the whole Black Hills. So I think it's a good place to have it. It's a late-season meet, so we're pretty tired. Our top seven's pretty tired coming off of conference, so we want to run our best at regions, so we need to take a bye week here, a down week, and let the system recover. But we've got more than seven guys and gals on our team, right? You know, our men's roster is 28. Women's at 12 girls right now. You know, going forward, we're going to get another eight freshmen for 2024 class. We're going to get 3 to 4 girls. So you're talking about a cross-country team that's big, and we need a meet here so that these kids that are freshmen that aren't getting to travel because they're just not fast and strong enough yet, they get a chance to compete. And that's what this meet's about. So it's a lot of our 8 through on back runners. But we've got some good kids in there. I was looking at our 8 through 12 on our men's side and what they run for 8K, and going back, you know, 3 or 4 years, you know, 5 or 6 years for sure, there was a lot of teams that those 8 through 12 would give those teams a run for their money. And that's really cool to see that the foundation that was laid before I came is continued to grow. And this is an opportunity for them to race hard. And we'll see. We may move the meet to Friday afternoon to avoid a little bit of snow for Shadron and BH to come down and not feel like they're having to fight the weather on Saturday. If it holds, we may move it to Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. or we'll still have it Saturday morning at 10. I'm a guy that likes to run through the elements and doesn't like canceling meets and just because it's a little bit blustery. You know, it gets a little western. That's just a chance for the Hard Rockers to be tough, and I think it's a great, great environment. I think we thrive when the weather is bad, frankly. I'm just that kind of coach. I don't like moving things around very much. I think it sets a tone of a weakness when you do that, unless there's some pure safety considerations at play. And then, of course, I'm sensitive to those. But it's a competition, right? And whether you run fast or slow, really that doesn't make a difference. It's let's beat your opponent. And that's what we're going to try to do. We want to win the meet, and that's what we're going for. For regional championships down in Texas at pretty flat, fast course, you know, we're ready. We've had some good success. We've had a good couple last meets. Let's just go get a little better. That's the same thing we preached all year is let's have another micro improvement. You know, and collectively those mean great improvements down the road. So We'd like to be, you know, top 12, top 10 on each side. That would be four to six spots better than we were last year, and that's a good chunk. That's a good chunk of improvement. So we'll take seven down on each side. I think we've got seven good runners on both sides, and I think they've all earned the right to go, and it's always a hard decision to select your championship team at the end of the season. But if you're in a spot where you're leaving a lot of good runners at home, that means that your program's doing some good things.
You kind of mentioned that Texas was going to be a little flat. What is the difference, you know, for a cross-country runner? Because obviously you deal with all sorts of different atmospheres. Here, it's obviously very hilly, but then you were in Denver, which obviously the high elevation, and then Texas is, you know, flat and hot. So what kind of difference does that make, and how do you prepare for stuff like that?
You know, that's an incredibly good question, because it relates to what we want to be known for and do well here, and that is we want to be a team that works really hard, that works really smart, and that's tough. And if you have a hardened mentality, then you're able to perform your best regardless of the conditions and the situation. We have runners on our team, as every cross-country team does, that are a little more of a track runner, and they like those flat, fast courses like Texas. They like the warmer weather. And then we've got guys that are grinders. You know, our only senior, Brett, he's got this scraggly beard. He looks like Grubby. I mean, frankly, he loves it. The crappier the weather, the better that kid loves it. But he's not going to not go out and bust his butt and try to be great just because it's a fast course that favors somebody that's not him, because he's a good runner, right? And if a good runner knows how to run well regardless of the conditions, that maybe they favor you, maybe they don't. So it moves to 10,000 meters. This is our first 10,000-meter race. That's a long way, 6.2 miles. We're not changing anything on our style, and I don't mind anybody knowing that. We are going in, and we're going to send our top couple runners out, and they're going to push into the top pack and work on competing for as high spots as they can individually. And then our main pack of guys is going to stick to the same strategy we've done. You know, we're going to get out around 5:05, 5:10 at the first mile, maintain through halfway, and then start to crush it. And that's what's worked. It's worked for us. We're better than we ever been as a program because we've stuck to our guns. And our goal is to now go into Texas and run 10,000 meters at the same pace that we've been running 8,000 meters. And so we just want to get about 25% better. For our ladies, I felt like we had a little bit of a misstep in the conference meet. We ran solid, but it wasn't great, and we're looking for another great performance for our gals. I think there's going to be a chip on their shoulder. I think they're going to be annoyed with the fact that they let the stress of the meet get to them a little bit, and they're going to be ready to duke it out and be aggressive and know what it takes to compete on that level after coming away from conference.
You mentioned earlier that Claire might wind up close to competing for nationals. What is the cutoff there to qualify for the national meet?
So there's a couple individuals that are on a non-qualifying team. So there's three automatic qualifying teams, and then within our region, because it's based on the stats, it's the best region in the country. So we could get 6 to 8 teams based on the at-large qualifiers from our region. So if you're on one of those qualifying teams, you don't count in a scoring for an individual bid, but you do need to be in the top two runners, I believe is the current rule for individually qualifying that aren't on a qualifying team. Then there is a list, a few runners that the national committee selects for at-large individual qualifiers based on the strength of your resume throughout the season. She had a little bit of a rougher conference meet relative to her other performances in the season. That may negatively affect her resume going into this, and it may not. She's going to need a very good race to qualify, probably in the top 30 individually. So if you're making all region, you have a pretty solid shot, 50-50, of making the national championships as an individual. You know, and that's the goal. There's absolutely nothing to lose. She is a sophomore. She has had a great season. As you mentioned, all-time 6K school record holder. Why not go for it? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to stick our nose in it and duke it out and We're going to be in the race late in the game when it counts. And that's a story for our women's team. That's our race strategy. Our men's is a little more of a patience followed by destruction. Patience, move late, attack late, because it's a longer race and you have to have a different strategy. Women are running 6K, and our women's mentality, I think they've really been thriving on get out, be aggressive, put your nose in it, and fight. And that's what we're going to do again.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me today, Joe.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the Coach's Corner. Thank you to our guests, head volleyball coach Lauren Prohaska and director of cross country and track and field Joe Stevens. You can always subscribe or listen on Apple or Spotify. This has been Josh Van Valkenburg-Gernert signing off.
Thank you for listening to the Hard Rocker Huddle with host Josh Van Valkenburg-Gernert. Follow on Apple and Spotify.